Vice President Rebecca Nyandeng Dimapio told the UN General Assembly on Friday that on July 9, 2011, the people of South Sudan emerged from a long liberation struggle against oppression and domination. Yet, less than 3 years later, Dimapio said, the country collapsed into another war triggered by a power struggle among our leaders.
Under the revitalized agreement on the resolution of the conflict in South Sudan, that was realized through the support of the UN, the AU, and key friendly nations. While our determination to fulfill implementation, to implement the provision of the agreement has been impacted by many challenges, foremost of which is a global COVID-19 pandemic outbreak and the limited resources needed for its implementation.
Dimapio admitted there has been a lack of essential services and development in South Sudan, as well as the international community's disappointment with South Sudan's leaders during the last 10 years of the country's independence.
As a national leaders, we admittedly have occurred mistakes that may have disappointed our friends, supporters, and the world. We have learned from those mistakes, and I am here to engage in constructive dialogue with our international partners, bearing in mind the lessons and consequences of our actions, and more importantly, the dreams, aspirations, and marching order from our people of the kind of government, society that they want.
But Dimapio says her government is committed to achieving lasting peace and development in South Sudan and to never again allow the country to return to war.
I want to assure our friends and partners that we are determined to never go back to war. We pledge to pursue the promises our liberators made to our people. We must ensure peace, security, dignity for all without distinction. We must replace the destruction of war with the productive use of our vast natural resources and national assets for good of our people.
The Vice President reminded the gathering of world leaders that they promised to help South Sudan at independence. Dimapio said her nation needs help in capacity building and building institutions, not just humanitarian assistance.
We should recall that at our independence, the international community pledged to help build the capacity of our infant country in all areas of nation building. As a result, the United Nations mission in South Sudan, UNMISS, was created to help establish the foundations of our new nation. However, after the outbreak of war, that vision was abandoned and priority was placed on protecting civilians and providing humanitarian assistance. As a result, support for capacity building of the state was terminated.
Dimapio said while humanitarian assistance remains a priority, the international community should do more in terms of capacity building for South Sudan. She said her government has made some progress in implementing the 2018 peace agreement, including forming the executive and legislative bodies at national and state levels. She says her government has also made progress in implementing public financial management reforms in Chapter 4 of the peace agreement, has started the constitution-making process, and is carrying out Chapter 5 on transitional justice, accountability, reconciliation, and healing, although at a relatively slow pace.
We can therefore say that the glass is half full in the implementation of most chapters of the revitalized peace agreement. Where the glass remains half empty is in Chapter 2 on a permanent ceasefire and transitional security arrangements. There is an urgent need to form a unified professional army under one command and control. The security sector reform is the most challenging part of the agreement.
Dimapio also used her speech to highlight the impact of this year's flooding, which has ravaged large parts of her country and affected hundreds of thousands of South Sudanese.
Climate change has already impacted the lives of at least 1 million people across South Sudan. Torrential rains have resulted in the worst flooding in 60 years, and have inundated villages and towns and destroyed livestock.
And Dimabior expressed concern about recent developments in the Abyei administrative area, where Sudan requested the withdrawal of the Ethiopian peacekeeping contingent as tensions escalated between Sudan and Ethiopia over a border dispute and Ethiopia's Grand Renaissance Dam.
Khartoum has called for the withdrawal of the Ethiopian forces in the United Nations Interim Security Force in Abyei. Any alternative arrangements will take time and leave a dangerous security gap in the area. This issue can be resolved peacefully through an arrangement that will give Abyei people their freedom and dignity. Moreover, that will enable them to play a positive role at the border between the two Sudans.
Dimabior says being one of South Sudan's vice presidents gives her hope that her country can still correct its path and fulfill the dreams of its founders of achieving peace, prosperity, and dignity for the people of South Sudan.
I have come to this assembly with the spirit of my late husband, Dr. John Garang Dimabior, and all those who paid the ultimate price in the struggle. It was a dream for Dr. John to liberate his people and address the global community at this very podium. Being here as a female vice president from an independent South Sudan realized Dr. John's dream.
She said a dream of her husband, John Garang, the founding father of South Sudan, was to liberate his people and address the global community at the podium where she was now speaking. But being there as a female vice president, Dimabior said, was also a dream of her husband's. For VOA News, I'm Nabil Biagio in Washington.